Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. Today I have with me Seth Gordon, director of the School of Drama at the University of Oklahoma. Thanks so much for joining us, Seth.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So as always, we're going to get to know the person before the program. If you could sort of give us a little background on yourself and your training and experiences that led you up to your time at OU.
Sure. As it happens, this is my first full-time job in academia. I come from the professional field, and that I think was a very purposeful move on the part of the larger university when the job opened up. It was decided that rather than having somebody who's been teaching all their life do this, they wanted someone who'd been doing it all their lives, and that's me. I am a New Yorker, and my training was actually at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. Before that, I was at the High School of Performing Arts in New York, and if you know the movie Fame, I was actually there when the film was shot. And that was a very, very heady moment for all of us. But I received a lot of really strong training, I think, between those two schools. At the age of 18, coming from performing arts, I felt particularly prepared for college life. And then Carnegie Mellon, where I received both a BFA and an MFA, really prepared me for the professional field. I was then in New York for many years, directing plays, mostly new plays, in New York and around the United States. I wound up with a theater company called Primary Stages, which focuses on new work. And then I became Associate Artistic Director of the Cleveland Playhouse, where I focused a lot on new work and then also directed all sorts of American classics and a couple of Shakespeare's, and then moved on to the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, where I did all of the same and was the Associate Artistic Director, and that basically brought me to Oklahoma. I just decided that the next chapter of my career should be, first of all, a leadership position. That was something I really felt strongly about. And I wanted to start giving back to the community, to the professional theater community that had served me so well over the years, and also to have a say in what the next generation of theater artists were going to be like. And that's what brought me to OU.
So let's chat a little bit about the program now. So you're the director of the School of Drama. Could you please tell us which degrees are offered at the undergraduate level as far as performance degrees or theater degrees at OU?
Yeah, sure. We have, it's a pretty varied program. We have performance majors, and that's the largest group. We also have designers, and there are design programs for every conceivable form of design: sets, lights, costumes, sound, projections. And that we then have a stage management program, and we are one of the only BFA programs in the country with a dramaturgy emphasis. And so we have all five of those. We also have plenty of students who wind up with a strong interest in either directing or playwriting or both. And while we don't have areas, we don't have majors in those areas, we do have the ability to accommodate people who really want to study that and do it. There is a student playwright festival that takes place every year, and those are obviously plays written by students. And we have student-directed plays that go on every semester as well. So there's a lot of opportunity there for people to get some really strong training, but also to find themselves as theater artists and become not just performers, not just designers, but also ladies and gentlemen of the theater.
Mm-hmm. So is it a BFA acting, BFA theater? What is the degree?
The degree is a BFA in theater. I should also mention that we have some wonderful cousins right across the quad from us who are the School of Musical Theater. And so we don't personally have musical theater students. We have plenty of students who sing and move really well. And we do wind up with some of our students in their productions, and they wind up with some of their students in our productions, and there's plenty of crossover. Everybody takes acting together the first couple of years, but they are a separate and distinct school.
Mm-hmm. So I usually ask everyone that's on the podcast to give me their elevator speech, their elevator pitch on the program. So 60 seconds or less, tell us about the BFA theater program at OU.
Sure. Well, as far as performance majors in particular, I assume that's what we're focusing on.
Yes.
The acting program is a very, very comprehensive one. You start out with what a lot of people refer to as Stanislavski-based. I assume most people within the sound of my voice have heard of Konstantin Stanislavski and know what his importance was to acting. Modern acting is basically something that that he created. And so most of the precepts in the first year or so of the performance curriculum are based on his work and his findings. Everything is very realistic, and then it branches from there. We start working with voice and body. There's a wonderful course called Departures from Realism that everybody loves taking. There's a wonderful course called Acting, Performing New Plays that a lot of people really are turned on by. There's Shakespeare, there's acting for the camera, and so as you move through the program, you learn more and more about what acting is, what acting can be, and then, of course, there are performance opportunities all the way through this. So in general terms, we feel like the first 2 years of a performer's training, we're saying to you, here's how you do it. And then in the final 2 years, we're asking you, what are you going to do about it? And so a lot of the non-realism courses that I'm talking about are actually not required so much as they are advised electives. So you can look at all this stuff and you can say, here's what I want to do. I want to really focus on crazy stuff. I want to really focus on new plays. I want to actually be a playwright. I want to actually be a director and focus more on that. And so people start defining for themselves more and more what their education and training are going to be as they move through the program. So by the time they graduate, they have a very strong idea and ownership of what kind of theater artist they are going to be. And then at the end of all this, we provide you with the entree that you need into the profession with showcases. So we do a showcase in Chicago, and we do one in New York, and we do a digital one for Los Angeles. We don't actually physically perform something in a Los Angeles theater because that's not what they want. They want to just open up their laptop and take a look at you that way, and so that's what we do for them. So by the time you're done, you are ready for the field, but you're also ready for the field on your own terms, and you're very well trained. So those are that would be my elevator pitch.
So you said that students can have the opportunity to sort of tailor their degree to whatever is their concentration, and OU is so unique in the fact that it has its own school of musical theater separate from the School of Drama, but you did mention that there's crossover there. So is it possible then even for a School of Drama student to tailor and add in musical theater in some way in their training, in voice lessons or dance or movement? Like how tailored can it get?
It can get as tailored as people have the time to do and the inclination to do, to be honest. You know, when I mentioned I went to Carnegie Mellon, and I don't want to cast aspersions on the school I went. I think it's a great school. I felt very, very trained and ready for the field at the end of my time there. I also have almost no memory whatsoever about thinking about what courses I was supposed to take. I was handed my schedule. I was told, this is what you need to be a director. My MFA is in directing. And I went and I did what I was told, basically. And I then spent several years, in my first several years of my career, feeling like for someone as young as I was, I had a really good leg up on the field. And I felt a little undereducated. And I felt like I had to play catch up. I would go to meetings in which people would say, of course, we're going to talk about this book that we've all read. Of course, we're going to talk about this version of philosophy or psychology that everyone understands. And I would just nod appreciatively because, you know, actually I'm a pretty good actor too. And then I would go off and catch up. And so we consider ourselves, you know, the word conservatory gets tossed around quite a bit. Carnegie Mellon is definitely a conservatory. We consider ourselves conservatory style. And what we mean by that is that the training is just as intensive, but it's also much more comprehensive. Mm-hmm. We have the ability to allow people the access to decision making and access to creating their own legacy and their own path forward that a lot of other programs that consider themselves to be conservatories really don't do. So that, I think, is how we are distinguished more than any other program.
So one of the major differences between a conservatory program and one of those conservatory style programs at a university is the number of gen eds that are required as part of the degree. So can you speak a little bit about what your sort of core curriculum requirements look like at OU?
Sure. It's not just the gen eds, I want to clarify, that distinguish us. It's the advised electives within the school itself. We're not just talking about taking more psychology and more history. We're also talking about the fact that even though you're an actor, you can explore dramaturgy. Even though you're a dramaturg, you can explore directing. Even though you're a costume designer, you can explore acting. Even though you're a performer, you can explore costume design. When I got my job, there was a student on the search committee that hired me, and there was a junior student who was a costume designer and a dramaturg, which is a combination I'd never seen before. And this was a young man who's doing wonderfully in both. And right now in our senior class, one of our better costume designers is a performance major. So at a conservatory, this really, at least at the conservatories that I've been exposed to, this is not possible, and actually no one would have thought of it. And so here, we really do have the ability to provide people with the opportunity to acknowledge the fact that they're young, that they're exploring, that they're discovering things, and that they're capable of more than just one thing.
Right. So, obviously within a university, there are several options as far as outside things that are not artistic in nature. How easy or difficult is it for a BFA student at OU to take on a minor outside of the arts, or even a double major if that's possible?
Sure. Well, at any university program like this one, where the training is rather intensive, it's not easy to do other things. Anything is possible where the time exists and where the student chooses to put the time. OU is one of the largest liberal arts undergraduate campuses in the United States, and in our part of the country, I would say maybe along with UT Austin, we are the largest in our region of the country. And so I'm in a very enviable position here. You can see me, the people of this podcast cannot see me, but from where I sit right now in my office, I am probably within a half a mile of an expert in every conceivable field known to humankind. And where that expertise is there, there's a class that's being offered. So we have people who take classes in every conceivable thing. We have people who minor. We have a very small handful of people. I think they're nuts. They probably just don't sleep for 4 years. But there is the possibility of double majoring. And we do have a few people who double major. So all of these things are possible, like I said, if the time, if a decision is made to devote the time.
Mm-hmm. So back to the artistic side of things, can we chat a little bit about what some of the sort of features or highlights or big draws are to your school? As far as major events or things that are a pull.
Sure. Well, one thing that we haven't really talked about are the performance opportunities. Mm-hmm. We have performance opportunities at two levels, or really multiple levels, one being something that we call university theater, which is actually produced by the entire College of Fine Arts. So that's drama and musical theater, and then we also have some kissing cousins over at in the music program that produce operas, and then there is a school of dance. And our designers and our stage managers actually work on all of these productions. And so they really get a wonderful comprehensive experience working on all these different forms. And I'm not sure that there's another undergraduate program that is able to do that quite the way we do. For our performance majors, there are the plays that we do within those. There are a few exceptional moments where we have drama students who wind up in the musicals. We have a few moments where the drama students wind up in the dance concerts. You never know where they might turn up. Those opportunities are always there. And then we have our own lab theater where we produce our own plays. And these are usually plays that are a little bit more cutting edge. They are usually a little smaller, a little more intimate. And sometimes they're brand new plays. Playwrights come in to work with the actors and the director on the play while the rehearsal process is taking place. And that's a wonderful opportunity that a lot of undergraduate programs are not able to provide. And then we have an even smaller theater, a studio theater, that is entirely run by students. And so these are productions produced and directed by students. And then there's the Student Playwright Festival, which I mentioned before. So by the time you are done, you have worked on a variety of plays at different levels of production, and you have worked in theaters that are large enough to really be a small Broadway theater, and you've worked in theaters where the seating capacity is about 30. And you've also worked in proscenium settings, and you've worked in three-quarter or sometimes even in theater in the round. So all of these opportunities are there over the course of the 4 years. Students tend to go into auditions their second day there. Hopefully they know their way around and they know how to get to the audition at that point. And not so many first-year students wind up with roles in the plays, but by the end of the first year, a lot of them have performed, a lot of them have understudied, which is another wonderful experience, and then people's performance opportunities expand as they move through the 4 years in the program.
How many, how many main stage shows do you produce each year? And then also talk about any student-led groups or any other performance opportunities outside of the main stage.
Yeah, I try not to use the word main stage only because...
I stumbled on it because
I
don't like to use it.
Yeah, we consider the really big shows to be just as important as the smallest of them. There's the small productions are small but mighty. But within that university theater schedule, we contribute two of those productions. Although, again, our design and production students work on all of them. But we do two plays over the course of the year that are considered, that are put into those Broadway size spaces. We do three plays that work in our, that are produced in our lab theater, which seats around 70 or 75. The Student Playwright Festival also takes place in that lab theater. We usually have about four productions per year that are produced and directed by students. Those take place in the studio theater, which seats around 35 or so. There's also a couple of student-led organizations. There's something called the Student Theater Collective, which does its own stuff, usually a few things per year. And those could be anything from readings to small productions. There's also something called the Black Theater Collective, which actually does more than just theater. They've done everything from talent shows to design shows that that sometimes take place off campus and that involve the entire university, not just the School of Drama. But altogether, there are probably some at least 10 and as many sometimes as 15 productions that take place over the course of a year. So people tend to be busy.
Yeah, sounds great. Mm-hmm. Chat with us a little bit about any notable alum or faculty that you might have there.
We have a lighting design alumni who recently made his Broadway debut. Mm-hmm. His name is Adam Honore. He's from the class of 15. And oh dear, what was it called? Chicken and Biscuits, I believe, was the name of one of the first plays that opened up when Broadway opened up again, coming out of the pandemic. Adam was the lighting designer for that. I'm not allowed yet to talk about his next two projects because they haven't been announced publicly, but he's got two more Broadway shows that he'll be doing within the next year, so he seems to be very much well on his way. Other people who are from around his time period, the direct or associate director of the National Tour of Hamilton is a graduate of our school. Ashley Moore Monroe, and she actually, during the pandemic, Hamilton, of course, was not performing, so she was sitting in her apartment in New York wondering what to do, so we called her up and said, we have a great idea about what you should do. You should come and teach it here for the year. So she came and taught and directed a play for us, and then at the end of the school year, we had to say goodbye to her again because Hamilton was starting up again, and she had to go back to her career and her job. Mm-hmm. So those are two people who we're very proud of. There's a gentleman by the name of Iqbal Theba, who, if you saw a picture of him, you'd probably recognize him immediately because he seems to be in every fourth or fifth television, made-for-television program. He's been very, very busy. He lives out in Los Angeles. We have quite a few alumni who appear to be working all the time. They're not stars, but they are professionals in the field who are showrunners producing television, acting in television programs, acting in the theater in Chicago. We have a very, very active Chicago theater community. There's a woman there by the name of Linda Gillum, who is an alum of our program, who is a member of the Remy Bumpo Theater Company, which is one of the major, what they refer to as storefront theater companies out there. Most of our alumni appear to be good, strong, solid, working professionals.
Great. And as director of the School of Drama, you probably have many duties outside of just teaching there, but can you tell us when the students will actually work one-on-one with you in class or in shows?
Sure. Well, I direct a play during the course of the year, and that could be anyone from a first-year student to a senior. I teach directing, and everyone takes directing at one point or another during the course of their 4 years. I teach a more advanced directing course for people who are becoming a little bit more interested in it. I teach theater management, and while all the stage managers need to take that, a lot of other people do. And that's a great course to take if you're interested in not just what happens on stage, but what happens all over the theater. And also what happens in a nonprofit institution. You know, very often actors, they'll fly in, they'll be greeted, they'll do all the rehearsal stuff and never walk into the office and never really understand how everything that's provided for them during the course of this production came to happen. And so theater management is a great way to learn about that whole aspect of the profession and to understand your profession much better. So I teach that course as well. And in the senior year, I teach a course called Professional Preparation, which basically is what it sounds like. And it, it allows people to learn about everything from how to fill out your taxes and how to make sure that you're keeping all the receipts you need to keep as a freelance artist, to preparing for the showcases that I was talking about earlier. But also, among the early things we do is work with the students on an artistic mission statement so that they have a really strong idea about how they want their career to go and who they represent and who they want to be. And at the end of it, we just actually, it's December 13th today, so our classes just ended. On Thursday, we had show and tell. That was our final class, and everybody showed their websites, everybody showed their resumes, everybody showed the photos. We had a wonderful photographer who does actor headshots all the time out in Los Angeles, and we flew him in, and he took everyone's shot, and the school paid for that. So everybody has a really good headshot, everybody has a really good website, everybody has a really good resume,
And everybody has a really strong idea of who they are as a theater artist and what they want to accomplish after they graduate. So those are the courses that I'm teaching at the moment.
Wonderful. Let's chat a little bit about Norman, Oklahoma, where the school is located. Students, obviously, at some point are going to step off campus. Can you talk a little bit about student life and the things there are to do around the area?
Sure, but there's a lot to do. I think it's a good combination of being a little bit of a boring town, which I think is important, actually, as a New Yorker. I toyed with the idea of going to college in New York, and I immediately decided I didn't want to do that because I thought I'd never go to college. New York is just way too exciting, and there's just way too much stimuli. And here, I wouldn't say that it's a completely boring town. There's plenty of interesting things to do and fun things to do, but it is enough of a bedroom community so that you can really focus on school. And that's an important thing, I think. There are plenty of great places to eat. There's a lot of really great barbecue, this being, you know, the part of the country we're in. There are wonderful places on Main Street to see an art exhibit, which I think is an important thing for a theater person to do, to, you know, feed their soul, as another member of our faculty talks about. Oklahoma City, we are adjacent to the largest city in the state, and it has wonderful museums and some good professional theater. There's a great Shakespeare company in town, and a lot of our students participate in the Shakespeare company, as well as our faculty. We have faculty and students acting together all the time at the Shakespeare Festival, and sometimes being directed by yet another member of the faculty. There's something here called Oklahoma City Rep. I have recently joined their board of directors, and they are being resurrected after a prolonged pandemic enforced absence, and they are going to become a really strong cutting edge place to explore new work. And then there's a theater company that does Lyric Stage, which does musicals as well. And a lot of our designers and stage managers avail themselves of experience at that theater. So there's a lot to do both inside and outside the profession.
Let's switch gears now and talk about the audition process. Give us sort of an overview on the steps that have to be taken in order to apply an audition for the program.
Sure. Well, the first thing I think is that you should know that you want a BFA in drama and that you know you want the kind of training that we offer. We are definitely not a liberal arts education. Your focus will be on drama, and so that's something that people should understand before they apply and audition for it. At the same time, we are not a 100% conservatory. We are going to be able to provide you with a lot of experience that a lot of other programs are not able. But if that doesn't interest you either, that's also something to consider before you apply to us. You need to know what the Common App is. That's how you would apply to the University of Oklahoma. And then you need to know what Accepted is, or Get Accepted, which is another app. It's basically like the Common App, except drama schools use it. And you would need to have that available to you so that you can apply to us. And the way you apply to us is pretty simple. You just start at the top where they ask for your name, and you just keep scrolling down, answering the questions till you're done. With both of those, you want to make sure to fill out the financial aid stuff, because OU is not for free. And the FAFSA, as they call it, is the key thing. That's what you'll fill out when you apply to the university at large, and they will give you most of your scholarship, and they provide a substantial amount of scholarship for most people based on a combination of merit and need. And then when you're scrolling down Accepted and applying to us, there's a place where you can tell us about your financial need. We consider everyone to have merit, or we wouldn't be taking them. And so need is something that we try to address as best we can as well. So that is how you apply. There is also a place on the Accepted where you can download monologues. It is certainly our preference, and we think it should be your preference, to come here and to audition for us in purpose in person. There are three opportunities to do that that are coming up in January, February, and March. All of that is on the Accepted website. And you could sign up for one of those days. And that day is a day when we really get to know each other. We'll do a tour of the campus, a tour of our facilities. You'll play theater games with a member of our faculty and other students who are applying. There'll be a question and answer session with myself and other members of the faculty. There'll be a separate one for your parents if your parents come. We'll feed you lunch, and during the lunch you'll sit with current students from the school so you can talk to them about what it's really like to go here. And then you'll do your monologues for the entire performance faculty. So by the end of that day, we have a pretty good idea of whether we want to accept you, and you have a pretty good idea of whether you want to come here. So that's really the best way. You can download the monologues and be done with it, but you haven't really learned anything about the school and whether you really want to go here. So we strongly urge people to come to one of the in-person auditions. If you are having a little bit of trouble thinking about how to afford the trip out here, on Accepted, there is a place where you can click, and there are, they're not ours, but there's a separate organization that provides some scholarship to people, specifically so that they can go do in-person auditions. We also go to the Unifieds. We'll be at New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles this year, and so that is another way to get to us if you can't come all the way to Oklahoma.
And just to clarify, because we know that Accepted is used by many schools for a pre-screen process, are you a pre-screening school, or are they using Accepted to upload monologues as part of a final audition, as a virtual audition?
Yeah, we don't pre-screen per se. So if you are uploading your monologues, we're not necessarily going to say, that's all we need from you, thank you. Anyone is welcome to sign up for these on-campus auditions who wishes. If you come to one of the Unifieds, I may urge you to come to the on-campus audition if I feel like we are very close to wanting to have you come to our school, or if I'm certain that I want very much for you to come to our school, basically because I want you to come to the campus and see the campus and meet everyone and make for yourself an informed decision about whether OU is the school you want to go to. So the auditions are really a two-way street. We are auditioning you, but you're auditioning us as well, and that's something that we feel very conscious of.
Yeah. I always remind students of that, that it's actually you're interviewing both directions.
Absolutely.
So approximately how many live auditions do you see every year?
Well, from the on-campus auditions and the Unifieds combined, I would say at least a few hundred people, probably closer to 500 people. The first year performance class next year will have no less than 15 and no more than 20 people.
Mm-hmm. And that's the number that you aim for every year?
Yeah. It's been a bit larger, and we're trying to downsize the school a little bit in order to improve casting opportunities and student-faculty ratio. So last year's class and this year's first-year class are a bit smaller than they'd been, but that's how we're going to keep it.
And if you wanted to be one of those 15 to 20 students that you're looking to accept, what are the qualities that you can hope that would make you stand out to you?
Well, we're looking for somebody, first of all, for whom this isn't completely new. We're assuming that if this is something, if you know at the age of 18 that you want to spend at least the next 4 years, if not your whole life, doing this, or at least your whole professional life doing this, that you've been at it to some degree already. And so we're not necessarily looking for polished people who we can't train, but we are certainly looking for people who have done this already, who have a sense of what it's like to stand on stage and speak lines and have a creative imagination. And that, more than anything else, is the other quality that we're really looking for. We're looking for people who are capable of exhibiting the ability of asking the question, what if, and then answering it for themselves. So when we see those monologues, we're seeing someone who's really speaking to somebody. We're seeing somebody who is really receiving something from that other person. We're seeing somebody who knows what they're saying. and who has really broken this thing down and thought about the message that they're trying to send to another person, the objective that they're trying to achieve with another person as they say this monologue. We're looking for somebody who's thought about what their given circumstances are. They know that if it's cold outside, then it's cold outside. If it's really hot, then it's really hot. If they're really nervous about saying this to this person, that's something that they're giving themselves into. So we're looking for somebody who understands that this is not just a person standing there saying words. This is somebody who has created a universe that is unlike the universe we're in right now. And they are devoted to that for the moment that they're doing that monologue.
Seth, what's something that you're looking forward to coming up at the University of Oklahoma?
Well, we're about to embark on a couple of different projects that I'm very excited about. We do Shakespeare here once every couple of years, and we're about to go into Midsummer Night's Dream. So I'm very excited about that. We're about to embark on a new play. And so I'm very excited about the fact that we're going to do that. We don't do that very often. I want to do it more. And so that's something that's going to be a nice experience for the students who were involved. The Student Playwright Festival goes into rehearsal in March and is performed in April, and that is always exciting. You never know what the students are going to be writing about this year and how they're going to be working together to put all that into place. And I'm looking forward to the showcases and to how these students wind up in Chicago or New York or wherever they wind up. I'm looking forward to learning how they turn out.
Great. And if a student or parent wanted to find out some more information about the School of Drama at the University of Oklahoma, what's the best way to get in touch?
The best way to get in touch is to go to our website. And you could just Google the School of Drama. You can also, our name is Helmerich, H-E-L-M-E-R-C-I-C-H. So we're the Helmerich School of Drama at the University of Oklahoma. And if you Google us, you'll find our website. And that has a lot of the information we're talking about now. It has a phone number and an email address to contact us. The best email contact is our recruitment team, which are actually students. And this is drama_recruitment@ou.edu. And that is an email address where a student will pick up the email and give you all the information that you might need.
Great. Seth, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about your program. We hope to see you around here real soon, and we'll talk about possibilities of maybe bringing some students to campus and things in the future as well.
That sounds like a great idea. It was lovely to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us again.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.